Welcome to Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia. Today's speaker is Stephen Brannan.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God is one. What is the gospel? What is the good news that is central to our faith? Can you put it into words? We're told to have an answer for this question in and out of season, which means we need to be prepared to answer it even when we are caught off guard. So what would your answer be if someone asked you what is the gospel? The question usually isn't posed like that, what is the gospel? But you might be asked, and I've been asked, what do you believe? Or what's the difference in Christianity and other religions? Of course, a lot of the interactions we might have with people asking these questions will be personalized. We'll need to tailor our answers to whoever we're talking to. The one-size-fits-all evangelism approach doesn't work in every situation, though it's not necessarily an unproductive approach for those who possess the gift. It's certainly not an unbiblical approach. We see the apostles preaching and bringing thousands into the church at a time. But we're not all called to be evangelists. We are all called, however, to know our faith and not only to explain it when asked, but to actively share it by our words and our actions. But again, if you were asked, how would you explain it? There is so much to our faith, it's hard sometimes to know sort of how to begin to explain what we believe. The life of the church extends back 2,000 years, and the history of God working in the world, as accounted in the Old Testament, goes back literally to the beginning. So there's a lot of narrative content there. It's a lot of information. But our faith isn't about information, it's about formation. It's about you and me and the people that we're talking to about this being formed into something we weren't previously, or maybe transformed is a better word. So that's maybe the first thing we could say about what Christianity is. Everyone who becomes a Christian becomes something new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. But that's not unique to Christianity, is it? Becoming something new? Becoming a new you, that's not even unique to religions. Everything from diet plans to exfoliating facial scrubs promised that to us. Or maybe people don't want to be something new. The opposite trend in advertising is to affirm that you are perfect just as you are, so don't change who you are. Just buy this or that to accentuate your uniqueness. Whether you feel like you need to change or you need to be affirmed in who you are, the world has something out there that you can buy to help you with that. But the church is not the world. So if the church isn't selling something, why does it promise to transform you? And transform you into what exactly? Firstly, in the church, we remember why we needed to be transformed in the first place. In the church, we retain the obvious intuition of generations past, both Christian and pagan alike, that we are broken creatures. We, in the words of St. Paul, do not do what we want, but we do the very things that we hate. We were all born slaves to the passions running wild in our flesh, unbalanced, unruly, undisciplined, twisted, warped, bent, headed toward an unavoidable fate that stalks us every waking moment of our confused lives and haunts us even in our sleep. And that fate is death. All people throughout time have understood that this human condition, with its mortal fate, is a problem. But now, as C.S. Lewis was right in pointing out, we also have to preach the illness in our time before we can even preach the cure. Because people either declare that death is natural, by that they mean proper to our nature, and that we should just reconcile ourselves to it, or they embrace the delusion that diet plans and facial scrubs are actually somehow addressing the underlying existential problem that haunts them in the quiet moments of their lives between the noise and distraction. No, not in the church. We remember that our broken state is the result of the fall, when our ancestors first chose to be self-reliant, self-existent, instead of depending on their Creator for their life. They lost their robes of glory, that's what these are, and perceived themselves to be naked for the first time. And we've been anxious about our nakedness ever since. They lost the sustainable food of Eden. They lost their communion with the animals. And we've had a difficult time with nature ever since. Worst of all, like our fallen foreparents, we lost the ability to walk easily in commune with our Creator. And because of all that, we also die like our ancestors. That's the illness. That's why we need to become something new. And now, the gospel, the good news. God didn't leave us like that. God came into the world and took our fallen nature into himself. He became a man, and he saved our nature from all its corruption. He suffered hunger and pain and finally death, just like all of us, so that he could change all those experiences for us. He made the end result of all those things communion with God. Because he destroyed the power of death in his resurrection, his real life, flesh and blood resurrection, human death doesn't mean what it used to mean. Now, any and all who follow Christ can transform their own death into Christ's kind of death, and therefore can expect Christ's resurrection too. The gospel is that God became what we are so that our lives are no longer futile. They're not pointless. Every pain and hardship that we have to endure in this life can be sanctified by the simple prayer, "Transform this suffering into your suffering, Lord Jesus." And when the time comes, we can also pray, "Transform this, my death, into your death, O Lord." Because Christ defeated death. If Christ defeated death, though, why do we still have to die? We are currently in the octave, that's the 8-day period after a liturgical feast, of a commemoration that addresses this very question. Yesterday was the Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and it's become known in the West as the Assumption. In the East, the name for it is the Kimisis, or the Dormition of Mary. Both of those words mean falling asleep. Sometimes, because it's called the Assumption in the West, the Assumption is... See what I did there? The Assumption is that the West believes that Mary was taken up into heaven without dying, like Enoch or Elijah or something. That's not true. There's both literature and artwork dating back to antiquity and all throughout the Middle Ages of Mary having fallen asleep or died with the apostles all gathered around her. And Christ... there mystically holding the newly departed soul of Mary in his arms like a little baby. It's actually the exact reverse of this. It's a very sweet and tender icon. It's wonderful. So the church believes that her body was then assumed into heaven after her falling asleep, affecting her resurrection. It's interesting that throughout all the world, if that seems sort of historically strange, what, you know, if we are tempted to doubt that, in all of the church throughout the world, where there are relics of venerated bones of a multitude of saints, there are none of the most venerated saint. Isn't that interesting? We have relics of all the apostles, of Saint Stephen, of John the Baptist, of virtually everyone that there's an account of in the New Testament, but none of Christ, obviously, and none of Mary. So, believing that this tradition, this narrative is true, firstly, what then does the Dormition and Assumption of Mary mean? What is its significance? What does it actually have to do with anything? What does it have to do with the gospel? It means that the gospel works. The Assumption of Mary is not a part of the gospel. It's the result of the gospel. It follows from the gospel. It demonstrates what it looks like when someone indwelled with Christ comes to the end of life, even a life of sorrows. She saw her only son crucified before her. Remember St. Simeon's prophecy that a sword would pierce the heart of Mary. We see Mary, the first Christian, doesn't escape death because Christ didn't escape death, and the servant can't be greater than the master, but rather enters death with her son and Lord, and is then vindicated in her resurrection. Mary's life and death is our example of how to be new creations in Christ. Christ made new creation possible in his incarnation, his life, his death, and his resurrection. But Mary shows us how to walk that path of new creation in Christ. The gospel is Christ, that God-man entered into death and defeated it, rising again. In Mary's assumption, a mere human being follows Christ into death and out of it again. It's proof that the gospel works, that the gospel is true. The feast of the Assumption is a family feast. It's for us here in the church. It's for our edification and our encouragement. We don't preach the Dormition and Assumption to the world. We preach Christ to the world. And if they want proof that the gospel works, they should see that it works in us, in our transformed lives. We should be living in such a way as to inspire those who seek to ask what's different about us. That actually works. Believe it or not, when you live as a Christian, you tend to stand out. And people will ask you, why don't you do this or that? Or why do you do this or that? You will be noticed. Fighting against our unruly passions, living in harmony with nature, transforming our hardships into glory to God, and not fearing death, but preparing to enter it like our Lord, confident in what our reward will be. Mary is our example, and we should be an example to the world. O God, who this day didst take thyself to thyself, blessed Mary, the ever-virgin mother of thine only begotten Son, grant that we who celebrate her glory may be aided by her prayers and may come to share her heavenly and eternal joys. Through the same, thy Son, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end.
Talks at Advent, homilies and reflections given at the Church of the Advent, a Western Rite Orthodox mission in Atlanta, Georgia.